Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our guest is Sebastian Stockmar, a partner at Founders and co-founder of Tempo, a new famous email client. And we're going to talk about building habit-forming essential tools like email. This episode is brought to you by UserList, a lifecycle messaging tool for SaaS companies. It's perfect for sending smart onboarding campaigns or any other behavior-based communication. We have everything you need to get started quickly and painlessly: developer-friendly API, campaign templates, and hands-on support from the founders. Try UserList free at userlist.com. Hey, Sebastian.
Hi.
We're so excited to have you here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to get into it.
Before we talk about actual product design, can you give us a background of yourself, of Tempo, and the amazing venture studio that it's a part of? Because it's not like a typical founder slash product story that we're talking about.
No, maybe that's a good place to start. Founders is a venture studio or startup studio. It has a bit of a different name to some of them. And the way we operate is simply that we manage an investment fund. And then, contrary to normal investment firms, we invest the majority of our capital into what we call studio companies. So companies where we actually take a co-founding role and super hands-on with these companies. And we've been operating now since 2012, almost, I think. And started a good number of companies, of which more than a dozen now are alive and kicking and doing well. And Tempo is one of them, basically.
Tell us more about yourself personally. So your role is related to product design. So what's your background?
Yeah, my background is within product and service design, and also started out doing graphic design. Yeah, 12, 15 years ago, I started working on mostly like the social web, and where all of these new possibilities came in, and we started building more social tools around, for my case, fashion brands and music brands back then, and slowly gravitating more and more towards building utilities and tools for people to use rather than these social platforms. And this is also my job and my function within Founders, where I'm a partner at, is to take care of like the product and service and concept development of the companies that we kind of build internally for the first maybe, 6 to 12 months at least, or something like this.
I wonder, this is a little bit off topic, how did it all come together? Did they recruit awesome people to be partners at Founders, or how did it work out?
Two of the six partners raised the fund, yes, a bit before 2012. Spent the first year or so together with one of the other partners starting it up, trying to find our legs and figure out how are we actually going to do this in practice. And within that year, the rest of the other three of us partners joined Founders and started up on our respective roles within business development and software development and in my case, design.
This is such an unusual and awesome model. So we are talking about Tempo, which is an email client. And whose brainchild is that? Who can be called, a founder, if that relates?
Yeah. So today it's all of us in the team. So we're six people now. So, and definitely today, everybody has certain aspects of it that they can definitely call them, take on their own. But in the very early days, it started out as from my desk, based on conversation I had with one of the other partners here at Founders, where we found ourselves writing more and more of, our more long form emails and the things where we actually wanted to put some thought into it for real, where it's not just a, yeah, sounds good, or let's meet up at 4 instead of 5, or whatever it might be, of these quick replies. And where we actually wanted to like do real work and have like an original thought or two and not just sit and reply to all the incoming messages. And that's kind of where it started. And we just imagined this and okay, how could we actually build something like this?
So the tool you ended up building, it's amazing. And I would love to compliment the product design. Your marketing site is literally mouthwatering and overall super clean and super sophisticated as opposed to many other tools that we see out there. So how would you describe your philosophy? It's super clean, super ethical. How do you go about defining your brand, if that's an applicable question?
Yeah, for sure. What every time someone writes about us or talks about us, they use the word minimalist, which I personally have this love-hate relationship with that word. Mm-hmm. I think some great things comes out of minimalism, but it also often implies a little bit of this cold, like lacking attitude or whatever it is. And that's definitely not how we see ourselves. I think the term that we've used internally, at least, is more respectful rather than minimalist. So we don't try and take any more attention basically than what we absolutely need to take from people. And the same thing for the marketing side as well. It's we're not trying to coerce you into believing something that you might not believe. And we're very upfront about that this product is not for everybody, it's for some. And that's fine. That's good. That's part of what we believe that we can do here. We can build a niche.
So how long have you been going with the product since launch?
Yeah, since launch is a good question. Since we're still in beta, now we're in public beta.
Right. I mean, since the inception moment. That's correct.
Yeah. Well, we've been through a lot of iterations since we started working, a bit more than 2 years ago now with Una and Enrique, who started out as consultants. We knew they were great at building products, and we wanted to build this little prototype to see if there was actually something there. And they were very kind to help us out build this first thing. And then the thing evolved and it took on a life of its own. And we could see that was actually something there. We got very, very happy whenever we ended up using it. And slowly over those 2 years, it also became apparent that these two guys, Onan and Ricky, had a lot to offer besides just development, of course, and also understood product really well. And that we just had a really good overlap in the way that we like to think about building products and companies in general. And then they joined as co-founders now last year.
How would you describe your approach to email? Because obviously it's an existing industry and there are dozens of email tools out there. What's your special sauce?
That's a good question. So I think the biggest differentiator here, and now we talked about attitude just before, I think the biggest differentiator is that we actually come with a methodology. So most other tools are, to more or less extent, generic tools. So they supply you with the same kind of tools out of the box. And then if you're an Inbox Zero person, you can use it as Inbox Zero. If you're a person who uses labels or folders, as some people do to an insane degree, that's fine. You can do that. If you're more Inbox 10,000 kind of person who just searches for whatever they need, as some people also are, you can do that. And we really believe in that we can carve out this niche. And we can create something that's like vastly superior if we build in the methodology into the tool and build the tool for a specific methodology. And I think that's also why it's very nice that everybody talks about Tempo being minimalist and beautiful. But we have made our own lives quite a lot easier by saying this is what we are and this is what we're not. That allows us to basically cut away like 50% of what other email clients have to provide to, support these 1,000 different ways of working, where we can just focus on, what is it that our demographic actually wants to do and how is it that they actually want to work.
What is your approach in communicating this methodology to your freshly onboarded customers? Do you market your method first and then when they come on board, they already know, or vice versa? Because it's never easy to get people to do something you want them to.
No, definitely not. We've definitely been through our fair share of different onboarding scenarios. And I think one thing we've found is that because we're an email client and because there has been a drought of innovation in the field of email, people are very hard to convince that this is actually different. Also because, whatever email client you might be looking at are all tooting the horn of being innovative and this is a completely game changer and whatever it is, when in reality most of them, 99% of them are, it's a nice skin on top of what you could already do with any other client, with a few exceptions maybe. So getting one thing is telling the story, as another thing is actually getting people to believe that this is different, and it's definitely a challenge. I think the best way we've been able to do it so far has been through people, with the exclusion now of Jonathan, who's heading our communications and community now. He's doing a really good job in trying to create this conversation and steer it, of course. In the past, we had no communication whatsoever externally. We had our website, as you mentioned, which was a one-pager. I think we had that for more or less 2 years, and then we just had a Twitter account that tweeted out pictures of beautiful products. And that was basically our communication, just our mood board, basically. And through that, and through this website also getting on these award sites and these other things, our demographic pretty quickly just chimed into being designers and being people who love products and build products and who are interested in products. And that's been the main carrier of our conversation so far. Going forward now, and what we just started doing, we're focusing more about like how can you actually do good work, and this whole conversation about deep work and focus and time well spent and all of these movements that we can see are happening, which we're personally really happy with and what we also have been inspired by when building Tembone.
Let us recap the methods that you mentioned are at the core of Tempo so that maybe they resonate with some of our listeners and they decide to try it out.
So, yeah, there's a few different things. I think one of the things we started out with was definitely that multitasking is just it kills everything good. It really, and it's something that's harder and harder to get around. So one of the core things that we're focusing on is to create a space that's away from your inbox with stuff that you've consciously chosen, like mails and messages and conversations and whatever it might be. Stuff that you've chosen is important to you to work on. And then give you complete quiet for however long you like to focus on that and do the good work. You know, the work that we talked about earlier, but that we had to kind of flee into IA Writer or other writing tools, you know, to actually have a decent thought. Here, we're just giving the space within our email app to actually do this. And I feel like that's one of the core things that we really believe in, so that you can actually get into this state of deep work and just, you know, do distraction-free work, basically.
You mentioned that you've been through several onboarding scenarios. So that kind of continues to a question, how did you test these scenarios and how, in general, you approach talking to your customers, because that's got to be a lot of people since you're a B2C product, that's proper to say.
Yeah, yeah.
So that means you're dealing with thousands of people in order to become a profitable product. How do you collect opinions, get feedback, and test those onboarding scenarios?
So first off, we honestly didn't talk to a whole ton of people before we did the first couple of versions, because we did them as prototypes and because we're working with some guys who could execute on this very, very quickly. We managed to get something up and running, and we knew we had an itch to scratch, so to say, ourselves. And we could feel when, okay, now this little part of it hit, and now we need to fix this next thing, and so forth and so forth. Later on, we've done a few different things, and one of them, which we've been quite surprised has worked, is simply like a hidden menu item within the app that just says, send us your feedback. And through this, we've gotten more than we could hope for. People are very passionate about email clients. People, I think it's a sign that how much time we actually have to spend in email clients doing the jobs that we have to do, most of us in the tech world anyway. And so people are super passionate about this. It's really nice. We don't have to chase feedback a whole lot. And for better or worse, people are also very good at chiming in on Twitter saying, we want this, we want that, we want dark mode, we want whatever it might be. Yeah. So these have been some of the core places where we've gotten the feedback for sure.
How do you manage these tons of client feedback while keeping everyone happy and not getting feature creep all around the place? Because I imagine the requests are pretty diverse in what you'll be building and what you won't be building.
Yeah, there's a few parts of it. So we kept running in closed beta for quite a long time. And especially in the time of you know, the agile or the lean startup, sorry, where, you know, many people have been spoon-fed this methodology of, you know, if you're not embarrassed, you ship too late and like ship as often as possible and all of this, which I can definitely recognize it. It's good. It's good. But it also comes with a little bit of a caveat, that almost an assumption that we're not professionals that knows how to build products as well. And this is, of course, not true. I think a lot of people have some decent experience building products that they can draw from. And especially when we're doing something new that's quite different than what's out there, we really need to experiment a lot internally. And we managed to do this with a small group of people, maybe 20 to 100 core users or something like this, where you can actually, you know, have conversations and talk with them about what's going on. And the other part of it is then that, of course, that our demographic are people who build products, because we didn't really do any advertising or marketing at all. And where our product ended to spread, it was in circles where people build products. So we were also very fortunate that we build products from people who themselves are building products based on feedback often. So they're very good at, I want to say, at least the people that we were lucky enough to get in are extremely good at knowing like what's relevant. And we get a lot of feedback also, which is, you know, this is probably unique. And just because I am, you know, a weirdo in this regard, so take it or leave it. And I think people are very good at that, actually.
Were there any products out there that inspired you to be like them and not necessarily in the email space, even though, of course, the second part of the question would be about superhuman and such, but firsthand, this unusual way of building a minimalist product, are there other SaaS companies that do similar level of cleanliness and sophistication that inspire you?
Yes. Yeah. So I think I've mentioned already IA Rider and the IA team like three times by now. This is a great inspiration for us. And it started as a bit of a joke. Let's just give us IA, like, can we just get like IA Rider guys to build us an email client? Then we would be happy. And it's definitely the work they've been doing is amazing. And it's a big inspiration for what we're doing. I think creating something that's not constraining while at the same time, not just overwhelming you. I think it's really amazing. And I think that's one of the big inspirations for sure. Yeah.
How has this timeline of yours evolved alongside Superhuman? Because that's been definitely a trendy thing in the world of email. Mm. And what's your opinion of them? I mean, you don't have to be very critical or anything, but maybe just draw a few lines how you're different.
Yeah. So we get compared to Superhuman an awful lot. Especially considering that we regard ourselves as being like vastly different, right? Like having at each end of the spectrum in terms of approaches to how to work with email. But I think why we get compared is, of course, because I think when they launched, we'd probably been working on it for a year or a bit more maybe even. And so we're part of this sudden refocus on building better email clients. I think maybe that's why we get compared to them quite a bit. But I think for their purpose, what they want to do, they're doing really well, of course.
I would love to hear your comparison. What do you think the difference is? Because for the onlooker, it seems that both of you are striving to build a minimalist, smooth inbox experience. Mm. So what is the difference in your qualification?
I think if you boil it down, I think it's almost in their tagline as well. They're going for speed, basically. And we're going for focus. We want to help people do better work and manage their time, basically take control of it. And this is super important for people whose main work, or 90% of the work, or at least like the biggest value drivers of their work, are happening outside of the inboxes. So that's all the developers, all the designers, most of the marketeers, probably with the exception of salespeople and maybe venture capitalists. The majority, like the most like value driving work, happens outside of your inbox. And these are kind of the people that we're catering to.
When it comes to habit forming products, and I guess one of your quests is to build good email habits for people, there are all kinds of patterns, and some of them can be ethical, some of them not so much. And how do you manage all this when you're trying to bake in this habit forming things into Temple?
Yeah, it's a big challenge. And it's definitely one of these things where we've had a lot of discussions internally whenever we build the product, because there is so many tactics, whether you call it like dark patterns or white patterns or whatever it is, like these small tricks to get people hooked onto your product. At the same time, as this is exactly the opposite we want, right? We want to remove this, you know, inbox anxiety, always checking your phone, all this whole thing that keeps you from focusing and doing, you know, whatever it is that you want to do in that moment. And this is definitely one of the challenges we've had also in terms of building habit for people using Tempo. I think what we've found works the best so far is that we give people these moments of joy whenever they've actually done some of the things within Tempo. So we give them, you know, we actually have like a ton of more or less blank screens that just says well done and shows a beautiful illustration, or these moments where, you know, just close the app. There's an actual button for closing the app within the app. Sometimes, right? Just as like, go do something else now. You're done with email for today, hopefully. And this is, I think, what we're betting on, that, you know, the people in our demographic, they recognize that and they get some affinity for the product and for the brand and these things, based on us being extremely honest and extremely upfront about this kind of stuff.
I would love to ask a question about those illustrations. They're magnificent. Who was the author?
All the illustration work is done by Jay Curry. He's also, if you want to find his name or something, he's also on the About page of Timber. We link to his, I think, Instagram there, where he's also doing some good stuff. Yeah, super, 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 super talented guy. Really, really good.
Is illustration his main thing, or does he do anything else?
Yeah, illustration and motion graphics.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found him in the beginning through, I think, a weird graphic design Tumblr something, where there was one of his things reposted. And this was when it was just an internal thing for us still. And I tracked him down and just asked if we could license this thing he had created. Like, it was a doodle he had made for himself, just because, creative outlet, something. And I just asked, can we please use this and if we could figure out something. And then he was kind enough to do it. And now that we're getting more and more closer and closer to you know, being public and launching and being, you know, a proper company, so to say, we commissioned some original work from him that kind of fit our brand a bit better.
That's such a great story. We're going to link to his profile in the show notes for sure. So since you've been working from the inception to getting close to your launch, what were the biggest surprises in terms of the product, and which were pleasant or maybe not so pleasant, as opposed to the assumptions you made when you started out?
That's a really good question. I think in the beginning and still to this day, sometimes like talking about building an email client sounds, to me personally, and I think when you talk about it, it's like, what are you building, an email client? It's a bit dull almost, right? Like, it's this tool that kind of, I think most people, when they think about it, have a picture of an old like 90s Windows like thing, because there has been like zero innovation in the field. And I think the big surprise then is, the more you get into it, is how passionate people actually are about which client they use, what features, how they manage this. And I think the fact that you can just like, you cannot really be a citizen or a digital citizen, at least no matter where in the world you are, almost without having an email address today. It's pretty surprising how big of a part of people's life it actually is, I think.
Among the people who are trying out Temple, what are the stats of those who actually stick and make it their core tool? And how do you treat those that churn? And overall, what's the sentiment in this direction?
So without getting into specific stats, I think we have quite some numbers of, like, we know that what we're promising, people definitely want to have. We've been very surprised about the amount of people who are interested in a better email client or better email experience than what they have today. We've had quite some versions of Tembo now over the years here. And in the early days, we were crazy stringent about, like, you know, our methodology, our way or the highway, which essentially resulted in a crazy churn or a crazy retention rate, where people just, like, you know, the client could be, because it was a prototype at the time, could be half broken a day, and people would still, you know, use it and love it and these kind of things. Today, we've managed to get around, I think, most of those super hardcore our way or the highway methodology. So we more invite people to work with their inbox the way that, you know, we think that is a better way to work with it. And that has definitely improved some things. I think we still have some way to go. Yeah, but that's part of the work and refining it as time goes on, of course.
Do you happen to have like a classification of ways people deal with email? Like, you mentioned there are people like the 10,000 emails kind of people / people who use tags. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
I mean, we can definitely see that our core users now, more or less, are all people who are like inbox zero people, you know, people who get to inbox zero a few times a week or something like this. These are the people for whom Tembo is working really, really well. Another group is then the, you know, people who actually don't do that, people who are probably most of us. And, you know, that group goes all the way up to inbox 10,000, you know, an email hit your inbox and, you know, did you read it or not? Who knows? And you maybe use red on red, like marking the emails red on red to kind of keep track of where you are. But, you know, it's a bit of a gamble whenever someone sends you an email. And then there's like a ton of groups in between that. But what we want to do is definitely make Tembo even better for the people who are not religious inbox zero types of people. Just recognizing that, you know, sometimes all of us have a crazy day or a crazy week even, and that's okay. Like, we can still support that and we can help you then get back to where you want to be. at the end of the day. But these are the groups of people that we see. A funny story is that in the early days, we were very aware of this limitation. I mean, we still are, but in the very early days, there was no way, absolutely no way to work with Tempo if you weren't running like on an inbox zero schedule, which also meant that our onboarding basically did a little count of your inbox. And if you had, I think, more than 100 or 150 emails in it, we just provided you with an archive all button that basically archived your entire inbox if you wanted to use the system. And that was, yeah, that was also a bit much, but it was the only way, basically. And so, yeah, we've gotten further. We got a bit more road to go there as well, I think. But those people exist, and, you know, it's probably the majority of us when it comes down to it.
What is your long-term vision for Tempo after you launch and start charging for your service? Well, let's say, how do you imagine Tempo? What kind of company should it be in 3 years? How large is the user base? How large is the team? What are you planning to do in the email space?
I think one of the things that's super interesting, and now you also, yeah, you mentioned some of the American, like Superhuman and these kind of initiatives before. And I think a big thing for us is that we can see that the cost of building these kinds of software has just dropped dramatically to the point where, you know, this core Office suite is within reach for smaller teams to develop. And that allows us then to do this fragmentation of the market. So we can supply even better, like niche specific pieces of like this core Office suite, such as like email clients, of course. And this is a very different path, I think, than say, we want to be the next Gmail for the site, for example, or we want to be the next Facebook or whatever it is, like these, you know, all encompassing platforms. So we don't have specific targets for, you know, we want to be a 100-man operation or we want to be this and that. On the contrary, we're pretty strict on like, if we add a person to the headcount, like, is this the path that we really want to go down on right now? Since we want to supply something that's beyond what people have seen in terms of quality, in terms of all these things. And we think we can do that by really being the best at our niche. And how big that niche is something we need to find out. It's not something we can force. We can't throw 100 million of venture money at the market to figure that out. You know, it's just it's a losing plan, I think. So one of the things we've looked at, and we joke about it more than, and then, but it is a thing, of course, is Harley Davidson as a brand, for example. So not that we're sharing aesthetic or whatever it is, demographic necessarily, but Harley Davidson managed to build this amazing brand that, you know, if you're a biker, like this brand had such affinity with its customers that they would buy anything from like perfumes to like go to the Harley Davidson like steakhouse or whatever it might be, right? Like buy the cap and the t-shirt. And, you know, it's more this product that just knows that demographic better than anyone possibly could. And this is an opportunity we see, you know, really carving out this niche and just being the best for this niche that we could possibly exist. And I think that allows us with like an insanely small team to compete with, you know, the likes of Google and whoever it might be.
That's a great definition of success. I've recently heard Rob Walling say that this is called building a mini brand, not like to the point of Coca-Cola or Harley Davidson, but being one of the top of the mind names tools when people say email and they're like, okay, Tempo, Superhuman, Gmail, something of that regard. Yeah, so is that your goal?
I mean, yeah, I think it would be, we're human, right? Like we have an ego as much as anyone probably. So being thought of as one of the big three email clients is of course also nice. I think like, yeah, anyone would be lying if they didn't say so, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story. Where can people find you personally and Tempo online to learn more?
So me personally is on, yeah, I spent most of my time, probably too much for some would say, on Twitter at Stockmar, Stockmarr. And Tempo, it's the best to just go to yourtempo.co. And there we have links to, you know, all the social stuff and our blog and everything else that's going on.
Amazing. Thanks so much. And I wish you good luck in going out of beta. I know you have a special link for our listeners. Can you mention that?
Yeah. So since Tempo is a free product while we are in beta, it's hard to give out coupons and whatnot, but we have a page at yourtempo.co/friend of the app with dashes in between. And yeah, people can go there and sign up. And then by the time we actually launch payment and add that, We'll also send out a coupon for a few months free.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.
And here is another product featured in our Help Founders section. Slate helps freelancers manage their work schedule and check the financial health of their business. It's an ideal tool for organizing your schedule, projects, and finances in one place. Head over to heyslate.com to learn more. If you'd like your product to be featured for free on multiple awesome shows, welcome to apply at helpfounders.com.